Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Capitals 3, Lightning 0, and there will be a Game 7 on Wednesday night. Just like when the bandit jumped a bridge and then drove through a shallow creek to get away from all those squad cars, it was looking grim going into last night. Tight spot, tight spot. And let me tell you what, my hockey team responded with a Pantheon-level game in D.C. sports history. It was, I don't know how much of it you got to watch.
Very little, but I read about it this morning. Did the Caps just out physical the Lightning last night? Because that's what it looked. That's what I got out of it. They just went out and beat them up.
Idea.
They just went out and beat up the Lightning last night.
Beat them up totally legally, totally clean. It was the best display of rock'em sock'em hockey from start to finish I have ever seen. At one point last night, I tweeted, "Bleepin' relentless! Who are these guys? I love these guys because
old-time hockey. Eddie Shore.
They're up.
Toll Blake.
They're up 2-0. The time is bleeding out in the third period, and they get a penalty, so they're on the penalty kill. And they got at least two good chances, shorthanded, up 2-0 after they had been laying the lumber at every instance last night. Against the Lightning. It was something to behold. It was just incredible. And it was one of those games where I said, I feel proud of my team. Like, you always root for your team, and you always feel happy when they win. Well, for the most part. I'm not sure we felt really happy when the Packers beat the Browns last year. Remember that? Weren't we kind of rooting for them?
It was a DeShone Kizer ill-advised pass that made that win possible. He threw one of the dumbest passes.
And he's all yours now. Yeah. And he would have been a first-round pick, says your coach.
Yeah.
The same guy who said, I like our quarterback room.
Yeah.
When his quarterback room was a disheveled mess without Aaron Rodgers. Actually, in that game, I was rooting for the Browns. I was rooting for the Browns to win because I wanted the whole McCarthy thing to be folded up and swept aside. For your good.
I understand.
For your good, I wanted that. Yeah. And yet they escaped, and so then, you know, the winners went to history books.
Steve,
our rooting for the Packers to lose doesn't work out any better than us rooting for them to win.
What do you mean it doesn't work out?
We rooted for them to lose some time ago so they could get
Bush.
Reggie Bush.
You two did.
That's what I mean.
Push for Bush. Yeah.
Yeah. Bush for Bush.
That didn't work
suck
out.
For luck.
Yeah.
No, Steve, you're talking to a guy who didn't even watch the last game of the season against the Lions.
I know. You punched out.
I was like, I cannot watch any more of this garbage.
Right. So
I'm telling you, could be a precursor to when Rodgers pulls the plug and I go, yeah, I don't need this. I am not sitting around for this.
It's a little like,
yeah.
What are you going to do with your last
year? Yeah, right.
You know,
are you going to sit here and watch just crap football? No, I'll find something else to do.
You know, it's funny. Your old friend and mine, Drew Olson, who was on the Zabecast yesterday, still available today if you go to wherever podcasts are distributed, he and I got into a knockdown dragout about what defines a, quote, successful season because I said one of the, you know, Green Bay, one of the Wisconsin guys that was on my golf trip, I said, so what do you think of the Packers? And his response was, wasting years, man.
Oh, that's
wasting years.
Exactly how I feel.
And Drew's take was, what do you mean wasted years?
They've
had a lot of good seasons. And they, you know, in the playoffs, it's a crapshoot. And I said, whoa, I don't agree with that. Not in football. Football is not a crapshoot situation. Baseball is a crapshoot situation in the playoffs. Hot pitcher. The bats just are hitting the ball hard exactly where all the fielders are. Very random. Hockey is a total crapshoot, but not football. Football, if you have a good season and you've got the number one seed, you have two short hops at home. 1-2. Hop, hop, Super Bowl. And if you don't get there, then that is a wasted season. Don't tell me about how great the regular season was. Don't tell me about, well, you know, so it just didn't work out. You have to get there in the NFL because there's a lot of ways in terms of game plan, in terms of effort, in terms of everything, that you can control outcomes in football games, much more so than hockey or baseball. Basketball is a little bit different because basketball usually plays out to form. Oh, by the way, Cleveland has now tied their best of seven series by beating Boston last night. So 2-2 is the series. 111-102, Boston. There you go, Cleveland. There you go, box score, Brian. You got a score in today.
Thank you.
111-102. Do the voice.
We're missing the scores.
That's right.
It's now an official sportscast.
LeBron James. LeBron James, box score, Brian, had 44 points on 17 of 28 shooting, which is unreal. And he is making 40-point games so regular that it's almost like nobody notices anymore.
You expect it. Not only
don't
you notice.
That's what you call raising the bar.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And LeBron James has now surpassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for all-time playoff field goals in NBA history. Man. He has 2,368 field goals. Kareem had 2,356, so he topped it by 12. Jordan is 3, Shaq is 4, Kobe is 5, Tim Duncan 6, Karl Malone 7, Jerry West 8, Tony Parker 9, interesting, and then Hakeem Olajuwon 10.
Boy, Jerry West is really hanging in there too then. I mean, at 8.
Well, he's not playing
not
anymore.
Too bad. I know, but.
I know, Zeke from Cabin Creek, right?
Yeah.
They called him. The logo, Jerry West.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, back to my team last night. So they put forth such a great effort. It was so dominant. It was rock'em sock'em hockey. Guys were getting wiped out left and right. Totally clean hits, too. They weren't just, you know, hacking dudes. One of our oldest players, Brooks Orpik, who I think is 35, threw down and got into a fight. Gloves dropped with JT Miller. And that set the tone in the first period. I'm like, Orpik's fighting. Look at this. This is great.
Will it work for another game? Did they surprise the Lightning with, man, they're really hitting us hard tonight.
We'll see. You just don't know because this effort last night was what needed to be done in game three when they had a 2-goal lead and were coming back home for the first time before a rabid fan base that was desperate for them to keep putting the pedal to the metal. They came out and sleptwalked through game three. Last night was as if Coach Barry Trotz had a cattle prod on the bench and said, anyone who doesn't hit like a I'm going to get you right in the tuchus with this. So it was great last night, and we'll see. Now, I keep getting these emails from people, which I dig it. I love it. Brian Ludwig, who writes in from Indiana. Steed, he says.
Steed?
Oh, yeah, that's an inside running joke. There was a sign that was once made up, a nice laminated sign for my radio show at this resort, Nemacolin Resort, in advance of the 84 Lumber Golf Tournament. They had a handful of stations come in to do shows prior to the event for, you know, hype and publicity. And so they had these laminated signs printed up. And mine said, The Steed Zabin Show, S-T-E-E. D. Well, if that isn't the biggest slap in the face ever. I mean, really? Steed. Who would put that on a sign? The Steed Zabin Show. I might have a picture of it somewhere. It's a running joke, so people call me Steed.
You could call me Roy. I got listed in the pole vault results as Roy once. Roy Nelson.
Really? Roy Nelson. Why would that be?
I think it's just the way the coach sort of pronounced my name. He just it came out Brian Nelson Roy over the phone. Over the phone, it sounded like Roy.
Right. Is it like the difference between Yanni and what's that?
Laurel.
Yeah.
Like, is it Roy?
I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways. That's my line.
It depends on what device I'm hearing it through or who's doing the story. I've heard it both ways. Literally, it's like whatever. Laurel. I heard Yanni.
Whenever I pronounce a sports name and then one of my colleagues gently corrects me saying it's actually this, I quickly respond with a defensive, well, I've heard it both ways.
That's the running joke here, too, with Carrie and myself.
It is?
Yeah.
You stole that from me.
I've heard it both ways. Well, we all stole it from Steve Allen, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, Brian, down. Brian Ludwig says, Steed, I don't know whether to thank you or curse you for getting me involved with your hockey wife, the Washington Capitals. You see, I've never had a hockey wife or a hockey girlfriend or even a hockey someone I've rubbed up against in the grocery checkout line. Living in Indiana, the basketball wags always seem much hotter with their full set of teeth, their propensity to let a guy score 80, 90, even 100 times per night. But this hockey virgin started taking a look when you started showing scantily clad photos of your hockey wife and extolled her virtues of heart, gracefulness, and stick handling. When you dropped the full nudes, I saw her power play finish in the crease. You had me, and now I'm torn because as good as she is in bed, I've learned that she has a history. Years of forecheck play, but never a satisfying finish, along with multiple business trips to Pittsburgh, where she has returned with syphilitic sores only to be healed by an off-season salve.
Well, no.
It has me a bit concerned. What should I do? Do I stick around with her and hope to taste the sweet nectar, or will she leave me in my pajamas holding a box of bitter playoff disappointment? I hold you responsible, Steed. And if she ultimately treats me the way she has treated you all these years, can you get me the number for her banged-up older sister in Raljohn? My Colts have stopped putting out. Sincerely, Brian Ludwig in Indiana.
Yeah, as a Colts fan, he's in for a bit of a dry spell.
I literally have a lot of people saying, I have turned them into bandwagon Capitals fans because they're pulling for me and they're into the games. And I think that's great. And I love it when people who otherwise don't watch hockey start watching and realizing it is a tasty dish.
Oh,
yeah. You want to make real fans out of these people?
Okay.
Lose this one.
No.
Yeah. That'll make them real fans.
If they stick with the team, because they could walk away.
They got to stay through the heartbreak.
Yeah. Well, they're not staying through the heartbreak. It's your Gumar. Once your Gumar gets to be more trouble than she's worth, you move on, right, Steve? I mean, you just go, yeah, I don't need this.
Yeah.
This isn't what I got you for. I got you for a good time all the time, not some of the time. You got problems? Tell them to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to hear about it. I got a wife for that. You're the side piece.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Pat Lane emails to say, Zabe, I'm a podcast listener. Catch up when I can. It has been lusciously cringeworthy to hear your bar-hopping car joyride comparison / analysis about the Caps and their run for the Stanley Cup Finals. Love it. Count me in. And I'm a Habs fan by birth. So there you go. And yes, like the good old Smokey and the Bandit movie, we've had a lot of twists and turns here. It has been darkest before the dawn. We have eaten a barbecue sandwich right next to Buford T. Justice in
Cuban
a restaurant.
Sandwich. Cuban sandwich.
A Cuban sandwich, right. And we have dabbed.
Gotta take a squirt.
We have sat there and we have dabbed off the grease from the person who was trying to catch us and calmly said, okay, relax. Just like we were down 2-0 after two games, home games in round one. Just like we were down.
Justice Rock.
You really
want more of that. Him on the CB radio talking to the bandit. Am I talking to the bandit?
And we are on a joyride like you can't believe. And it could end badly. We could end up driving right into a tree on Wednesday night. But maybe not. Maybe we jump that one last crick and we know we are home free to Texarkana and all those squad cars with their blinking bubble lights behind us have to stop at the edge of the creek and we just high-five it and we're like, we're going to the damn Stanley Cup Finals against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Okay, I can't even imagine it. I'm prepared. I'm stealing for bitter disappointment. But last night was something else. What a great game that was. Mm-mm-mm. Yay, sports.
Well,
this is why you are a sports fan.
It is quite a move from where you were yesterday. I'll say that when your team
was
down.
Oh, I was resigned yesterday.
Yeah.
I was totally resigned. I'm like,
well, that's what sports will do to you. Look what 24 hours does in the sports cycle.
Yeah, that's right.
You have all the hope in the world again.
Yeah. And here's what's even better. Our friend Mikey O'Neill from the Mike-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, I heard this, the Mike-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah. You've not heard of the Mike-A-Wish Foundation?
No, you haven't heard
Mike is
that
so
one.
Generous. Mike is so generous he will donate air miles because he flies a billion miles a year to friends and, you know, part of our group to make things happen.
Yeah.
Right? He brought us
Mike
down to Dallas.
Mikey is very, very good with to us, no doubt about it.
Very generous. Yeah. He, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, he's going to be in town here in D.C.
Are you going to the game with him?
Well, the game's in Tampa.
Oh, all right. So where are you going?
But, well, he's coming to town for work. As soon as I'm off work at 7, I'm picking him up right out there by Dulles, taking him out to the Monogamous Compound, and we are going to watch the game together in the 5-hour energy dome in my basement.
So you're going to go?
How freaking great is that?
Honey, I'm having company over tonight.
I've already told her.
Make sure the kids pick up all their dirty clothes.
We need fresh sheets and maybe make us a little snack or something.
Sure.
We'll be hungry watching the game.
Mike likes a nice fruit tray to watch sporting events with.
Yeah, Johnny, get some peaches.
He likes some fresh melon, if you don't mind.
Get some canned peaches for the meeting.
Oh, God. Just like Deadwood.
Golly.
Here you go, Steve-O. Here's a little Buford T. Justice for you.
Let's hear it. Go ahead.
Oh, death. Don't you ever raise your voice to me. Do you know who you're talking to? I happen to be Buford T. Justice, a distinguished officer of over 30 years seniority, one of the most highly respected law enforcement agents in the United States of America. That vehicle happens to be evidence, valuable evidence, that's going to convict a maniac that I've been trying to apprehend and that I have been in high-speed pursuit of for 700 miles. He is wanted for a man act, kidnapping, and the attempted murder of over 20 brother officers. Now I got the sumbitch, and I got him with his fly open.
I got with his fly open. Well, he's taking a leak.
That is good. I gotta go back and watch the whole movie.
No, I bet you hate it if you watch it. Just the clips are.
But the clips are better. Just watch the clips.
I think so. I just want to work these in because I think once the series is over,
maybe you should watch it because you can watch for the microphone, the boom mic,
when the camera's mounted on the
hanging over Smokey or Bert and Sally when they're talking. In the car.
Okay. Okay. Whatever works.